Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to this deep dive. It's custom tailored just for you. We've got this really comprehensive review chapter in front of us. It's focused entirely on foundational math skills. Think place value, basic operations, even touches on fractions and time.
Essentials.
Exactly. So our mission today is basically to synthesize this whole thing, give you a shortcut to really mastering these fundamentals without getting, bogged down.
Yeah, to find the core stuff.
We need to pinpoint those absolutely crucial skills you need locked down before you move on. The material itself, it covers quite a bit: number structure, ordering, the four big operations, and some early application stuff like time and shapes, mostly working with 3 and 4 digit numbers. And I've got our expert here to help us navigate. We want to pull out those nuggets, the insights that really make arithmetic click.
Well, what's really interesting to me here is how this chapter lays out a path. It's not just random facts.
Right.
We start with just recognizing numbers, like static things.
Right.
Then we understand how they relate to each other dynamically. And finally, we get to actually using them, manipulating them in different situations.
So structure first, then relationships, then application.
Exactly. If you nail that structure part, the rest of math just gets, well, a lot easier.
Okay, let's start right there then with structure, where the chapter begins, building numbers. So say you've got those cards, 8, 9, and 9. What's the key idea to make sure you build the biggest number, 998?
It boils down to the power of position. Simple as that.
Place value.
Place value. It sets up the hierarchy, the absolute rule for making the biggest number. Your largest digit has to go in the highest value spot.
So with 2 9s and an 8?
You have to put those nines in the hundreds and tens places. The hundreds place first, obviously, because 900 adds way more value than 90, and both add more than 8.
Got it.
It's not enough just to see the 9. You have to see it as 900 or 90, depending on where it sits. It's positional weight.
That difference, the digit itself versus what it's worth based on its position, that seems like the absolute linchpin for this whole chapter.
It absolutely is. And that's the core difference between what we call face value and place value.
Okay, explain that.
Take the number 657. Let's underline the 5. $6 underlines $70. The face value of that 5 is just 5.
The digit itself.
Right. But its place value is 50 because it's in the tens column.
Ah, okay.
Honestly, if you only get one thing totally solid from this whole review, it has to be that difference. Because everything else, especially regrouping, borrowing, complex math, it all pivots on understanding that.
And this connects to expanded form and short form too, right?
Definitely. Look at expanded form. Breaking down, say, 455. It's $400 plus 50 plus 55. That's not just an exercise to fill time.
Okay.
The real nugget there is this. If you can't mentally see 455 as those flexible parts, 400s, 510s, 51s, you're going to stumble badly when you need to borrow. You must see it as a combination you can rearrange.
So you can conceptually take one of those 10s, for example.
Precisely. You need to see the 50 there to borrow from it.
Makes sense. And before we move off structure, the chapter also sets up some boundaries for us, like the limits of the number system we're in.
Right. Defines the playing field.
Yeah.
You got to know that 1 is the smallest single-digit number, 9 is the biggest. Obvious, maybe, but then moving up. 100 is the smallest three-digit number. 999 is the biggest. Knowing these boundaries is surprisingly important later for sequencing and even estimating. It gives you context. You know where your number fits in the grand scheme of things.
Okay, so we know how numbers are built. The next step, logically, is seeing how they relate to each other, moving from static things to dynamic relationships.
That's a good way to put it. And sequencing is the first step there.
Like just before and just after.
Exactly.
Okay.
Can you instantly say what comes just before 900? That's 899. Or what's in between 995 and 997? That's 9996.
Tests fluency, especially across those tricky tens and hundreds boundaries.
Right. It shows you can navigate the number line smoothly.
But then it gets a bit more complex with identifying patterns. That seems crucial for predictive math. The chapter has the usual suspects counting by twos, threes, fives.
Standard skip counting, yeah.
But I noticed one pattern they included seems specific. 111, 121, 131, 141. Why put that one in? It seems different.
Ah, that's a very strategic choice.
Yeah.
Good catch.
Oh, yeah.
The twos, threes, and fives test basic skip counting fluency. But that 111, 121, 131 pattern, it's laser focused on testing place value isolation.
Isolation? How so?
Because only the tens digit is changing. The hundred stays one, the one stays one. It forces you to track just that subtle jump of 10 each time without getting distracted by other digits changing.
Ah, I see. It's a precision test. Can you see that adding 10 only hits the tens place?
Exactly. Very precise test.
Okay, so if we can spot patterns, we can start ordering numbers, which, as you mentioned earlier, requires comparison.
Absolutely inseparable. Comparison is the engine that drives ordering. So you practice ascending order smallest to largest. Take a set like 915, 820, 501, 708, 931.
Okay, how do you tackle that efficiently?
You scan the hundreds digit first. 501 is clearly the smallest hundreds. Then you look at 708, then 8 and 920. Now you have two starting with 9.
915 and 931.
Right. Since the hundreds are the same, you immediately jump to the tens place. 110 versus 310s. So 915 comes before 931.
Makes sense. Start left, compare digits.
And this whole process relies completely on mastering those comparison symbols. Less than, greater than, equal to.
Crucial.
If you can't reliably tell why 934 is less than 943 because the tens digit 3 is less than 4, you'll mess up the whole ordering process. You use those symbols as your tool, checking position by position, left to right.
All right, now we get to what you called the heavy lifting, the manipulation phase. Using the numbers, core arithmetic operations. This is where that structural knowledge really pays off.
This is where it all comes together, yeah. Application time.
Right.
And the difficulty ramps up. We start with addition and subtraction.
Some look pretty straightforward, like 67 minus 32.
Right, those build confidence. But the real test, the make or break skill, is regrouping and borrowing.
Yes. The tricky part.
Think about examples like 65 plus 19. You have to carry that 10 over from the ones column. 5 plus 9 plus 14. Or, maybe even harder, 95 minus 18. You have to borrow a 10.
Can we pause on borrowing? Because that's often where things, you know, fall apart for learners. Especially if there's a zero involved in a bigger number.
That's a classic hurdle. And it goes right back to the power of position place value.
Okay.
When you need to subtract 18 from 95, you look at the ones column, 5 minus 8. Can't do it with whole numbers.
Right.
You must see the 9 in the tens column, not as 9, but as 90. You borrow 10 from that 90, which leaves 80, or 8 in the tens place. You give that borrowed 10 to the 5, making it 15. Now you can do 15 minus 8.
And the common mistake.
Forgetting to reduce the tens column. You took from the 9, it's now an 8. If you forget that, the whole calculation fails. This chapter, make sure you practice that mechanical transfer of value across positions. It's critical.
Okay, so once those mechanics for addition and subtraction, including regrouping, are solid, we scale up. Multiplication and division.
Exactly. And notice the scale. We're multiplying three-digit numbers by one-digit numbers, like 428 times 2 to 2, or maybe $135 times 3 to 3.
What's the core skill being tested there?
Efficiency and understanding place value distribution. If you really understand place value, you see $428 times 2 to 2 as really being 400 times $2 plus $10 times $2 plus 8 times 2.
It's expanded form in action again?
Precisely. It's putting that structural understanding to work. And similarly, the division examples they show, like $56 4 equals 14, 4, $300 equals 56. These check if you can efficiently reverse multiplication. It tests your basic math facts and a bit of proportional thinking.
And then they layer on another challenge. Combined operations, mixing addition and subtraction in one problem.
Yes, like $744 plus $3,229. This is super important. It's an early introduction to the idea that math operations have an order.
Order of operations starts here.
In a basic sense, yes. The calculations themselves aren't super complex, but the expectation is clear. You work from left to right. Add first, then subtract. It tests accuracy and your ability to follow sequence.
This all seems to build towards the word problems, which you could argue is the most important part, right? Connecting all these abstract skills to actual situations.
I'd agree. Absolutely crucial. Because the skill isn't just doing the subtraction. Is figuring out that subtraction is what you need to do.
Right, like the student problem. 846 students total, 499 are boys. How many girls?
The language is the key. Total number known, finding a missing part, that's the signal. It translates to subtraction. 846 minus 499.
Or the flower example. Ranjan has 96, Susmita has 59. How many more does Ranjan have?
That specific phrase, how many more, is the clue. It signals finding the difference, which means subtraction. You have to translate the story into the right math operation.
And the bus problem, 29 men, 18 women, that's addition because you need the total.
Exactly. Find the total. Add. Mastering word problems really means mastering that translation from English or whatever language into mathematical language.
Okay, makes sense. So the final section then shifts gears a bit, moving into more visual math and timekeeping, applying numbers to the world around us.
Yeah, we shift into what the chapter calls early application concepts, starting with fractions.
How are they introduced here?
Visually. It's all about dividing shapes into equal parts. The main exercises are things like shade 1/2, $12 too. Or look at a shape with parts shaded and identify the fraction it represents.
So building a visual intuition first.
Absolutely. It provides that crucial visual foundation. A fraction isn't just two numbers stacked. It's a part of a whole. It's a division problem where you split something equally. You learn to see $12.02 as half a pizza, half a circle.
Concrete before abstract.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, grounding these number skills in everyday measurements, time and shapes.
Right. For time, the focus is fundamental. Can you read an analog clock? This takes the number line concept and makes it circular, repeating. It's about measuring duration in a system we use constantly.
And shapes.
Basic geometry recognition. Can you look at everyday objects, a ball, a box, a can, and name the basic shape, sphere, cube, cylinder? It just reinforces that the world structure is quantifiable using these numerical and geometric ideas.
Wow, okay. So we've really covered a lot of ground. We've synthesized this whole foundational review, tracing the journey from just recognizing a digit's face value, all the way to performing complex regrouping and subtraction, and then applying all that to things like word problems, fractions, even telling time.
It's a big sweep.
And the central thread, the big takeaway, seems crystal clear. It all hinges on mastering place value, understanding that manipulating numbers is really just rearranging their positional values.
That's the heart of it.
So for you listening, if you make sure these fundamentals are totally locked in, how numbers are built, how they're ordered, how you manipulate them with the four operations, you've built a really solid base, you're ready for much more advanced math later on.
Absolutely.
This chapter is designed to make sure every single piece of that foundation is rock solid before you build the next floor, so to speak.
Well said.
So what does this all mean then for the bigger picture?
Well, we talked about how building numbers involves strategic placement. We know the largest four-digit number is just 9999. But think about building the smallest four-digit number using specific digits, say 4, 0, 8, and 7. The answer is 40078.
Right. You can't put the 0 first.
Exactly. And that raises, I think, a really interesting point to ponder. Why is recognizing the role of that 0, specifically its job in holding the hundreds or tens place, empty but still present? Why is that the single defining feature that stops that number from collapsing into just a three-digit number, like 478?
Huh. Interesting. It's like a placeholder with real power.
It is the keeper of the place value. Recognizing its positional power, even when it represents nothing in quantity, that's fundamentally key to understanding our entire number system. Definitely something to think about as you continue your learning journey.